Welcome to Breaking It Down with D'Anthony, with your host, Devin Anthony. Welcome to the latest edition of Breaking It Down with D'Anthony. A lot to talk about today, as always. NBA, NHL, MLB, football, soccer, a lot going on right now. And even though we are in a pandemic, once again, sports leagues have figured it out. And we got to start off giving credit to the Adam Silver. He pulled off a great NBA bubble in Disney World in Florida. You know, it was a great time for the players. Obviously hard for them to be away from their families, but I think they definitely made it work, and they were able to crown NBA champion this year, which was huge. And, you know, after the death of Kobe Bryant in January, after all, David Stern dying in December, I believe, a lot of heartbreak and loss for the NBA. And, you know, I think it was very important that they finished the season out the way they should have. And it ended up with my Los Angeles Lakers winning it all. And, you know, I couldn't be happier with how the team played. Just a bunch of leaders, a bunch of hard workers on that team. And, you know, I think they definitely deserved it. It was their first championship in 10 years. The last one was with Kobe Bryant in 2010 against the Celtics. LeBron James won a Finals MVP and averaged almost 30 points a game and 12 rebounds along with 8.5 assists. He shot 59% from the field and 42% from three. AD averaged 25 points and almost 11 rebounds a game during the finals. And as great as Anthony Davis and LeBron James were, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was a huge contributor as well, averaging 13 points a game in the finals. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had 15 points in game four with two huge shots at the end to ice the game for the Lakers to put them up 3-1, and followed up with 16 and 17 points respectively in games 5 and 6. Rajon Rondo and Alex Caruso were both huge off the bench and really controlled the tempo of the game. Caruso was the leader on defense, and Rondo definitely controlled the offense. Rondo averaged 9 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists in the finals and had 16 points with 10 assists in Game 2 and 19 points with 4 assists in Game 6. This is definitely Anthony Davis and LeBron's team, but this is one of the better supporting casts I think LeBron has had in his career with hardworking players across the lineup. Dwight Howard finally got his first ring and was overjoyed by it. As a second time around, the Lakers has definitely been more successful. You know, he joined Kobe Bryant and the Lakers after Kobe had won that championship in 2010 against the Celtics. Just didn't work out. There wasn't great chemistry between the two. But for him to come back, you know, never lost to Kobe in 2009 with the Magic in the finals. You know, never won a ring. Was a great player. Kind of was falling off. You know, wasn't an elite player anymore. Definitely not an All Star. But you know, came back with this Lakers team. You know, Rob Pelinka gave him a chance, and he was a huge contributor for this team. You know, he didn't get as many minutes as he probably wanted to, but was definitely still great energy off the bench and proved that during this playoffs. You know, not the biggest guy on the stat line, but his presence on the court was definitely felt. And great job to Frank Vogel and his coaching staff, you know, for getting everyone in, for figuring out what works for that Lakers team, and for ultimately winning a championship. This Lakers team was very, very successful for a couple of reasons. You know, many could argue that they had an easier path to this championship, but in a time like this, I don't think there's any such thing as an easy ring. You know, they didn't have to play the Clippers. They didn't have to play the Bucks as many people thought they would. But, you know, they still played a very hot Nuggets team led by Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. They handled them in 5 games and then played another really, really good Heat team that beat the Bucks in 5 games. Like, Jimmy Butler had a great series in the finals. I think averaged around 22 points and had an insane game when the Heat pulled him back in Game 3 with I believe 40 points, a 40-point triple double. So you know, great shooters on that team, young team, a team that had great chemistry. You know, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo. You know, young players. Goran Dragic, you know, was their leading scorer throughout the playoffs. He unfortunately went down for them in Game 1, but That doesn't go without saying that, you know, the Lakers definitely had, like, they definitely had competition. I don't know. I mean, I could see why you can argue that it was an easier path to a championship. But as I said, there's no such thing as an easy championship. The Lakers pulled this off. They followed the game plan and they did it. They won it all. You know, some people call it a Mickey Mouse ring that it doesn't count. But on the record, LeBron James, he's got 4 rings. The Lakers have 17 championships now, tied for most all time with the Boston Celtics. Like, I mean, if we can win it next year, then we'll have the most all time with 18 and Celtics with 17. So, you know, they want to repeat what they did this year, but I think there might be a couple changes that might have to happen to recreate that. You know, looking at free agency, Danny Green has 1 year left on his 2 year, $30 million contract. He wasn't great during the playoffs, but he's hoping to turn that around if the Lakers do end up keeping him. But he could be involved in a Laker trade if they end up trying to bring another big piece. But I doubt the Lakers will make any big moves this offseason because I think you'd be just risking too much. Too many young players like Caruso and Kuzma that probably have to be involved in the deal. Rondo is also on a 2 year contract, and he decided to opt out for a bigger contract. And Avery Bradley and JaVale McGee could very much well do the same. And even Anthony Davis will most likely opt out for a bigger contract extension. And I think, you know, I think Pelinka will be able to bring most of the main pieces back and put this team in a position to win another championship. You know, there's already rumors saying the Lakers could bring in Chris Paul, Bradley Beal, Jeremy Grant from the Nuggets. And I honestly don't think it's worth it. I think you stick with what worked for them. And obviously it did, you know, won 3 series in a row in 5 games and then won the finals in 6 games. I mean, it was dominance. Don't get me wrong. They weren't the 2015 to 2018 Warriors, but they definitely were still dominant. And AD and LeBron, I think, are the best duo in the league. At least this year, you know, having Steph and Klay come back next year, you can argue their case, see how well they come back and how well they can still shoot. But honestly, so the Clippers they fired Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers ended up signing with the 76ers, and the Clippers made Tyronn Lue head coach, signed him to a 5-year contract. I think the Clippers might lose Montrezl Harrell. They'll lose one piece because of cap space. You know, they're not going to lose. They have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in a contract, you know, but they might have to lose Montrezl Harrell, who's sixth man of the year, and that's a huge piece for them. But I don't think that team has what it takes. You definitely saw that against the Nuggets. They were up 3-1 in the series and blew it. They had leads in every single game that they blew and ended up losing the series 4-3. Like, that's unacceptable, and it's so hard to come back from. So I think the Lakers, I think we'll see a Lakers and Warriors Western Conference matchup next year. And honestly, I don't have a prediction for who's going to win that right now because I don't know how good Steph and Klay are going to be next season, but I'm sure they're going to be great and back to an elite level that everyone expects them to be at. We all know the NBA bubble was very successful, but the NHL bubble was also very successful. You know, no positive cases in either bubbles, which was amazing. That was the goal. But now looking to NHL, a lot of huge signings, you know, after the Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Dallas Stars in the Cup. You know, the Dallas Stars knocked off my Golden Knights in the Western Conference. You know, I've got to give credit to Anton Khudobin, had a great series. I think single-handedly saved that series for them, literally. And, you know, he was able to work out a deal with Dallas. They re-signed him. And looking at other goalies who are in the free agent market this year in the NHL, you know, you have Braden Holtby from the Capitals, you know, won championship with the Capitals and 2018 when they played the Knights in the Knights' first season. Jacob Markstrom, who's the starting goaltender for Vancouver last year, he signed with Calgary after Holtby had moved to Vancouver. And Vancouver also has a very good backup in Thatcher Demko, who played an outstanding Game 5, Game 6, and Game 7 against the Knights in the Western Conference semifinals. Lundqvist signed with the Capitals. He had been with the Rangers for quite a bit. As an older goaltender, will probably only be with the Capitals for a year or two. Signed a 1-year deal with them, I believe. But Robin Lehner, many thought he might have been on the move after being traded to Vegas, but he decided to, you know, to ink his stay with them. Signed a 5-year contract with the Knights. And after Lehner re-signed with the Knights, many thought, okay, well, why do we need Lehner and Fleury? That doesn't work out with the money. But they were able to keep Fleury as well and eventually took him off the trade market. And now they have two great goaltenders who they're able to keep in Vegas. Blues captain and defenseman Alex Pietrangelo signed a 7-year deal with Vegas worth $62 million. You know, definitely cemented his future here in Vegas. Big deal. Many thought maybe it's not worth it. You know, he's 30 years old. 30 or 31 years old, I believe. You know, he's going to be... Many think he'll retire after his stay with the Knights, that he won't even make it to the 7 years. But I think if we're looking at this year or the following year of the Knights, this is probably the best chance the Knights will get in the next couple of years. I thought, honestly, this year was the best chance the Knights are going to get to win a cup in terms of the teams they ended up playing. You know, playing the Blackhawks in the first round, playing the Canucks in the second round, both teams that you could argue probably maybe shouldn't have been in the playoffs, and then a Dallas Stars team who definitely were not the favorites to make it to the Stanley Cup. But I think they'll have a great chance again next year. Didn't lose too many pieces. They did have to trade Nate Schmidt and Paul Stastny to clear cap space. And Nick Cousins also left signing with Nashville. You know, Paul Stastny was great on the faceoff. He brought energy to the team. Obviously, we know Nate Schmidt was one of the original Golden Misfits, was great defensively, fit in well with any defensive line. And, you know, that's a huge leader and presence in the locker room that they're going to miss. But bringing in a guy like Pietrangelo is something the Knights have never had, at least defensively. You know, you have Shea Theodore, who is a younger player, I think 25. He probably had the best playoffs he's ever had. One of the best defensemen in the playoffs this season. Just played out of his mind, was great offensively. You know, scoring goals, assists, clearing the puck. I mean, he just played out of his mind. And to have Pietrangelo and Theodore, to have that flexibility for both of them to lead different lines, I don't think they'll play on the same line unless if it's, you know, a power play or a penalty kill or another special play. You know, I think to have them both leading their own lines, that's going to be huge for the Knights and definitely takes a little bit of pressure off of Leonard and Fleury, whichever one DeBoer decides to start more. And honestly, I think, you know, seeing how much DeBoer does love Leonard, how much he's, you know, started Leonard 16 out of the 18 playoff games the Knights had. Not a lot of people expected that. They thought Fleury would have gotten the edge because, frankly, he seemed to be the better goaltender. But Leonard was playing well. He was consistent. You know, saved the Knights on a couple different occasions, especially in Game 7 against Vancouver to send the Knights into the Western Conference Finals. Made an insane save across his goal. And you have to give him credit for that. But, you know, I think Fleury is a great leader for that team. I don't think, you know, he is towards the end of his career, and Leonard is a star goaltender in the league now. But I don't think DeBoer should absolutely ride Leonard every game. I think he should also, you know, try to make it as equal as possible, depending on how, you know, injury might be. You know, if Leonard is getting shoulder injury, he said he will be back for training camp, that he'll be healthy for the season, but you never know how that can affect him. So, you know, Fleury's going to be ready. And I think it's great flexibility for this team to have two elite goaltenders in the league. And I'm honestly surprised it didn't help us more during the playoffs and that DeBoer didn't use Fleury more. As great as Leonard was, I don't think he should have played as much as he did. But it'll be interesting to see how DeBoer handles that going into next season. Moving on to the English Premier League, Everton sit on top of the Premier League through four games. Calvert-Lewin, a new signing from Real Madrid, James Rodriguez, they've been the main reasons for Everton's surprising success so far. And Aston Villa sits right behind them in second, and they beat Liverpool 7-2. Another absolute landslide, Tottenham beat Man United 6-1, sending Man United to 16th on the table. There are clearly many issues within that United team that seems to be lacking a true leader, although they were able to bounce back today 4-1 against Newcastle. Leeds United has 7 points through 4 games and have been led by striker Patrick Bamford. It's still very early on in the season to make any serious predictions of how things will play out in the standings, but right now, the way the table sits is a big surprise to many. Now about the MLB. After losing the first two games, the Dodgers have found themselves scrambling in the NLCS, facing elimination, going down 3-1 in the series. They pull them back, making it 3-2, but the series isn't over yet, and if they can build off confidence from Game 5, they have a very good chance of winning the series. At least pitching has not been anywhere near as good as it should be in the series, but the lack of offensive production doesn't help either. The Dodgers scored just one run in Game 1, and they lost 8-7 in Game 2, in which four of their runs came in the last inning. They held to two runs, losing 10-2 in Game 2, but pulled one back, winning 7-4 in Game 5. It was Game 3 that was historic, as the Dodgers completely turned it on, scoring a playoff record 11 runs in the first inning and 15 runs total to the Braves 3. It surprised me that the Dodgers could have such a great game like they did in Game 3, and then turn around and score only 2. The Dodgers have always seemed to not be the same team they are in the regular season, and could just never get the job done, which could be mostly blamed by coaching. A team that does know how to get done in the playoffs is the Astros, who have pushed to Game 7 with the Rays after going down 3-0 in the series. The Astros are rolling with strong play from Springer Altuve and Correa, but are without star pitcher Justin Verlander. I definitely would not be surprised if the Astros could pull off this historic comeback, even though it would not look great for the league because of all this cheating scandals, and it was proven that the Astros did cheat the year they beat the Dodgers in the World Series. But an Astros-Dodgers matchup in the World Series, well, you know, if the Dodgers could pull that off, you know, kind of get revenge, I don't really see that happening, but I just don't think it'd be a great look for the league. You know, many thought the Astros shouldn't have been allowed to play this year. They should have been suspended altogether, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of money that comes with that. There's still a bunch of Astros fans, and I think the MLB wasn't willing to do that, and obviously the Astros, you know, belong where they are right now and have a chance, a real legitimate chance to make the World Series. So, I mean, that's just how it goes sometimes. You know, many, you know, I don't think they should have got away with it, but they have a better team this year. You have to give him credit for that. So, you know, as a sports fan, I'm obviously not happy with everything that he did. You know, cheating, there's nothing worse than cheating. But, you know, I think they deserve to be where they are right now in the season this year. So at least got to give credit to them for that. Today we're going to wrap up the show with some NFL breakdown, starting off with Dak and the Cowboys. After having the best first four games in the season of any quarterback on paper, Dak Prescott had a gruesome ankle injury in week 5 against the Giants, crying as he was carted off the field. It seemed like the Cowboys are finally heading in the right direction, but have suffered the biggest blow possible to the team by losing their franchise quarterback. Luckily, Dallas has one of the best and most experienced backups in the league in Andy Dalton, but by no means is Dalton anywhere near the level of Dak. It seems as if Dak will miss the rest of the season, although the Cowboys could be a playoff team in a very poor NFC East division, you know, with the Eagles, the Washington football team, and the Giants, you know, just not great teams in the league. You know, young teams, but teams not with great quarterbacks, especially now with Dak not being on the Cowboys anymore. Carson Wentz is definitely degraded. I don't think he's a elite quarterback anymore. Washington has had their quarterback problems. You know, Dwayne Haskins was the start at the beginning of the year, and now he's third string. Daniel Jones has not been great for the Giants. You know, Giants have gone down their star player in Saquon Barkley, who's out for the rest of the season. So that's a very weak division, but I do think, you know, it almost seems like Andy Dalton's the most accomplished quarterback in that division now. But I think the Cowboys definitely could turn it around. You know, we're now two and three after week 5 and are somehow at the top of the division. Like, that wouldn't be possible in any other division right now, yet they have a losing record and are at the top of their division, which amazes me. And NFC East hasn't been great for the last couple of years, and there's definitely something to be said for that. But, you know, as a sports fan, it hurts to see, you know, Dak was playing so well and was a true leader of that team. So this is devastating for Dallas, although I'm not a Dallas fan myself. I'm still a sports fan, and I love Dak. You know, I have him on my fantasy team. He played really well and was such a great athlete, was such a great leader, and has so much passion for the game. It really hurts to see someone go down like that. Another quarterback who's been playing great is Patrick Mahomes, and he has his team at 4-1 through 5 games. Although they lost to Oakland in a shootout at Arrowhead Stadium, great news came for Kansas City fans with the signing of Le'Veon Bell. He's another star player added to an already stacked offense, but Kansas City needs to step it up defensively if they want to win back-to-back championships. Russell Wilson is at the top of his game and seems to be the early frontrunner for MVP. He's already thrown for 19 touchdowns and over 1,500 yards through 5 games, and if he continues playing at this rate, he will definitely break some records. With receivers like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and even an experienced tight end in Greg Olsen, Wilson's got all the weapons he needs. Josh Allen has also been a top quarterback throughout the first 5 games of the season, and he sits only behind Russell Wilson with 14 touchdowns and is also second in total passing yards, sitting behind Dak, who had over 1,800. Josh Allen's Bills are 4-1 in divisional rivals. New England are 2-2, but will have Cam Newton back in Week 6 after he missed a game against Kansas City due to a positive COVID test. He has definitely lived up to the hype, throwing the ball well and using his speed and agility to his advantage in his running game. Another great running quarterback, Lamar Jackson, who was the MVP last year, he has his team sitting at 4-1, along with the Browns, which has been a surprise to many. But you know, they've finally figured out their offense. OBJ, Landry, Baker, you know, Kareem Hunt. Even though Nick Chubb's, you know, he got hurt, Kareem Hunt's definitely stepped in, and they figured it out offensively, and they've actually been a very good defensive team as well. The Steelers are on top of the Browns and the Ravens division, however, at 4-0. The Steelers have serious depth and athleticism on both sides of the ball and will definitely be a hard team to beat down the stretch. The Titans also remain undefeated at 4-0, and Ryan Tannehill has surprisingly emerged as a top 10 quarterback in the league this year. But it's still Derrick Henry that is the main producer for that team, who has almost 400 rushing yards along with 4 touchdowns in just 4 games. In the NFC, the Seahawks are 5-0 primarily due to the stellar play of Russell Wilson. And the Green Bay Packers, who take on Tom Brady and the 3-2 Bucks in Week 6, are 4-0 and sit on top of the NFC North. Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers should be a great game and one to remember. Tom Brady is coming off a tough loss on the road against Chicago, but is looking to bounce back against a hot Packers team coming off a bye week. The Packers do have Davante Adams back from injury, which will definitely make for a more offensive game against Tampa Bay. It should be the game of the week, and the Chiefs and Bills on Monday will also be a great game between two top 5 quarterbacks in the league and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Well, that's all I got for you guys today. My Los Angeles Lakers are world champions, and I couldn't be happier. But thank you guys for tuning in, and I'll see you soon.